This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, very happy to be with you today as we spend this time talking about issues of importance to our life and our faith. We certainly do invite you to give us a call, and let me give you that toll-free number that you can use if you're here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We invite you to punch those numbers in and join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. Also want to let you know that we're available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. There's a chat feature at each one of those sites, and we invite you to use it to put in your question or comment. Do tell us who you are and where you are. If you're listening another way outside of social media, do let us know what that means is by which you are receiving us today. And oh my goodness, we'll be only too happy to address your question or your concern, or, you know, share your comment with all of our listeners today. So those are two very good ways in which you can reach us, but we've got a third as well. You can text your message to us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your question or comment. Do know that message and data rates may apply. And of course, don't forget to tell us who you are, where you are, and how it is that you are listening to us. Well, today's a beautiful day in the Lord. I've got lots to share with you today. Let's do it by just checking out some of the upcoming events that are going to be happening through Women of Grace. And this would be our apostolate to women. I want to remind you that on June the 26th, Women of Grace in Action is our orientation session for new volunteers and facilitators. And we are actively looking for facilitators and for women who want to join us in this great mission of transforming the world one woman at a time. I'm very excited about what the Lord is doing. How can you not be when you see the hand of God moving along, you know, and you see just miracles happening and lives being changed and transformed and healed? Oh my goodness, it's so exciting. And we want you to be part of that beautiful, beautiful opportunity that the Lord is offering women through Women of Grace today. So we are looking for women who are interested in facilitating our foundational study, our Moments with Mary study series, Who is Mary? And Mary Through the Eyes of the Mystics, the two installments that are available in that series right now. And this is going to be taking place, this orientation session, on June the 26th. That is Thursday, June the 26th. The event itself is going to begin at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time and run until about 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. It's an opportunity for you to gain greater insight about Women of Grace, to find out the nuts and the bolts of what it is that we do and how it is that we do it, and also for you to ask questions. You know, we want to be of service to you, and we are really well organized to accomplish that great mission and goal that we have in mind. The fact of the matter is, if you have never facilitated the study before, we will hold your hand literally the whole way through. We've got women who you can reach out to and talk with as you move through the study, but I have to tell you, generally speaking, all of the information that you need is contained within the facilitator guide. It's a very easy program to facilitate. We do all of the work for you. You just have to put the coffee on. That might be nice. And a warm and welcoming heart. That's really all that you need to do. So this lovely session that is Thursday, June the 26th, beginning at 7:30 p.m., ending at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. This is a free event, obviously. So we are inviting you to get out and to check it out. You do have to register for it because it's an online event, obviously. So we will need to have that information on how we can get the link to you so that you can join us. We're hoping that lots and lots and lots of you will sense the Holy Spirit prevailing upon you. And I always tell the ladies, how do you know if he's calling you to be a facilitator? Well, if you're sitting there right now saying, oh dear Lord, please don't let it be me, it most likely is you. And if your hands are getting a little sweaty just hearing me say that, and your heart is beating a little bit more rapidly, well, then you can be assured that the Holy Spirit is at work in you And he is issuing you the invitation to join us in this beautiful, beautiful work of evangelization for women that we do through Women of Grace. So check it on out. I do want to let you know, too, that our Benedicta online summer course, Essentials of Carmelite Spirituality, is open for registration. That is beginning really just in 13 days on Monday, June the 30th. We are going to be looking at the A to Z essentials of the Carmelite Charism given to us by St. Teresa of Avila in her wonderful book, The Way of Perfection, really a manual that she wrote for her religious sisters. So this is a beautiful way for us to become introduced to St. Teresa of Avila, or if we already know about St. Teresa of Avila and we've read this book, this is a beautiful way to go deeper into the beautiful, beautiful spiritual realities that it offers to us. The course is going to be taught by Dr. Donald Wallenfang, who is our academic advisor. He is a Third Order Carmelite, very well versed in Teresian spirituality, as well as the influence on that Carmelite charism that comes by way of her. He is also has his doctorate in philosophy and theology. So you're going to be in the hands of a great instructor, and I can honestly tell you, you are truly, truly going to grow by way of it. You can take the course for spiritual enrichment, or you can take it and use it as a means to acquire a certification in Catholic women's leadership through the Benedicta Institute for Women. And this is something I am so excited about. This, I have a big smile on my face. I'm excited about everything that we do, but we've never done anything quite like this, I don't think, before. And this is going to be a Young Women of Grace summer camp. And the theme is Called by Name. And it is a week for girls entering grades 6 through 9. And they will be exploring how God has called each one of them by name. There will be joyful conversations, hands-on activities, and they will find out a lot about who we are as women and how God intends for us to live that reality in our day and time. It is going to be located in Maryland. It is Monday, July the 7th, beginning at 9 a.m. It ends July the 11th at 12 o'clock p.m. A very minimal cost. It's $25. It's going to take place at Sacred Heart Catholic Church, the IHM House, there on St. Mary's Avenue in La Plata, Maryland. All of the information is available for you out there at our website. So if you live in that general vicinity, this might be just the thing for your young girl, age grades 6 through 9. So that's roughly 11 years old to 14 years old. I'll tell you, it's just going to be beautiful. High school volunteers are welcome. We are encouraging you to check it out at our website, womenofgrace.com. I think it's going to be absolutely beautiful. I have no doubt that it's going to be absolutely beautiful. There's more coming up, and you know, you always can go out there and check it out at womenofgrace.com. That's womenofgrace.com. That is our website. Check under Attend an Event. You'll see that listed for you at the bottom of the homepage there on it's a tile, and you will find everything that you need to know about our upcoming events located right there. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having holy conversation with you. All of the phone lines are open now. Let's fill them up. When you fill up those phone lines, you fill up my heart with joy. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. 833-288-EWTN.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Happy to be with you today. Inviting you to give us a call here. We have Michael McCall call screening today, and he is eager to hear your voice, but maybe not as eager as I am. I always love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where, as I tell you, we love having that holy conversation with you. We're also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Use the chat feature there. Put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We'll get it retrieved. Pedro Quiles doing that retrieving. He'll get it up on the board. We'll be able to address it. You can also text us. Text your message to the letters EWTN at 58177. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response and then put in your question or comment. Do know that message and data rates may apply. We want to know, of course, who you are, where you are, and how it is that you are joining us today. So take advantage of the opportunity to come together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and to edify the body of Christ as we spend our time together today right here on EWTN Radio, brought to you by so many good affiliates. You know, here we are. We are in June, obviously. We're halfway through June, a little bit better than halfway through June. And we well know that this is the month that is dedicated to the Eucharist. It's a beautiful, beautiful opportunity. We're going to be celebrating that great feast of Corpus Christi coming up really soon. In addition to all of that, though, our hearts and our minds should be drawn to the reality of our Lord in his Eucharistic presence and an opening of our own heart to experience that reality ever more deeply. Maybe you have had a profound experience in a time of adoration, or in a moment after receiving our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity, that you would like to share with us today. I'd like to talk a little bit about it, because one of the things I think that hurts my heart so much is that so many people today really do not have a true appreciation nor a true reverence for our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. There's a beautiful book that someone recommended that I order, and they recommended this to me not long ago, just a couple of weeks ago, and I went immediately out and ordered the book. It's called What the Heart of Jesus Does and Says in the Tabernacle, written by Saint Manuel Gonzalez Garcia. And this is a lovely, lovely book. And the way that it's set up is that we first have this indication of Jesus in his Eucharistic presence. And he's looking out, upon us, really, from the Eucharist. And he is telling us what it is that he sees. What is it that he's saying to us? And how is it that he is directing us and guiding us? But also then, he tells us what he sees in us, right? So first, he's talking with us. There's something that he wants to share with us. And then he tells us something about ourselves in light of it. So it's just a lovely, lovely, beautiful thing. And here there is in chapter 25, I just thought I'd share this with you. It says, Simon, I have something to tell you. And there's a quote from 1 Samuel 3:10, speak, for thy servant hears. And then this is what is written. The heart of Jesus in the tabernacle always has something to say to you. Like to Simon, the inattentive Pharisee who invited him to dine, he says to you, I have something to say to you. Before you respond, savor these words for a moment. They say so much to those who meditate on them that they alone can calm more than one tempest and dispel more than one sadness. We're advised, pay attention to the affectionate interest that he, meaning Jesus, reveals and has something to say to you. Do you know who he is? Can you measure the distance between these two points? Probably not. So you cannot fully appreciate the value of the interest he has in speaking to you. He is interested in speaking to you. Isn't that a lovely thing? Think about that for just a moment. That there is our Lord in the tabernacle, body, blood, soul, and divinity. He is truly, really present there. And he waits. He waits for us to come and to visit him. He waits. And so often he sees people walking by without even a nod in his direction, much less taking the time to enter into the church to pray or just to greet him, to spend a moment or two saying, hi, Jesus, I just wanted to be with you for a few moments. It's all I have. But I wanted to give these few moments to you. What joy that would bring to his heart, and what efficacy that would bring to our own soul. You know, there's no action that we make toward union with our Lord Jesus Christ that it is not responded to by him with absolute fervency of heart and desire, which comes in the form of abundant graces and blessings. You know, we are told really that we, in fact, are simply giving a response to our Lord because he is always prevailing upon us through the power of the Holy Spirit. But when we heed that prompting, he responds with even more graces, with even more blessings. He responds in such a way that we are edified and built up. And sometimes we don't notice the subtle ways in which we're affected by that, but nonetheless we are. And so we want to give that attention to him and then be attentive to the way in which he is mingling with us in the midst of our everyday duties and responsibilities. So there's no opportunity that we respond to that is ever left bereft of the blessings of the Lord. But rather, there is always a holy exchange there. You know, it reminds me of this great fact that we know that God is always pouring his blessings out upon us. You know, our God is a God of total self-donation. That is what love is. And St. John tells us in his epistle that God is love. John Paul II is the one that gives us that beautiful definition for love, where he says that love is an act, not an emotion or a passion, but an act of total self-donation. So if God is love and love is an act of total self-donation, God has always got to be about the business of giving 100% of himself to us. It's there. The blessing, the grace is there. But we have to be open and respond to it. It's important for that, because even though the grace is there, the gift has to be received if the gift is going to be efficacious in our life. In his beautiful, beautiful Divine Intimacy, Father Gabriel of St. Mary Magdalene in Meditation 206 talks with us about the Eucharistic presence of our Lord in the very specific way of receiving him, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the sacrament of Eucharist. And he tells us this at the beginning of this meditation. He says, in his discourse on the bread of life, Jesus himself spoke of the Eucharist as the sacrament of our union with him. And then he quotes John 6, verse 57. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood abideth in me and I in him. And then Father Gabriel writes, it is a true interpenetration. And just pause for a moment here and think about that word, interpenetration. Christ is in us and we are in Christ. He says, of course, his life and ours, his person and ours remain distinct. And yet he so penetrates us with his life, with his spirit, with his divinity, that we remain immersed in him and he in us. Father Gabriel writes, St. Hilary affirms that, quote, having received the body and blood of Christ, we are in Christ and Christ is in us. He himself is in us by his flesh, and we are in him. And, oh marvelous consequence, with him, all that we are is in God, end quote. You know, not long ago, well, probably now 6 months or more ago, but, you know, in the recent past, in my time of prayer when I was praying the rosary, and we should pray the rosary with intentionality. You know, these prayers that we know so well, that we have been reciting since we were at our mother's knee, sometimes begin to take on a certain kind of mundanality for us. And we don't pause to think about the words that we are speaking and to whom we are speaking. When we are praying the Hail Mary and we are repeating the angel salutation to Mary, we are saluting Our Lady ourselves. So the angel says, Hail Mary, full of grace. Hail, full of grace. When we say Hail Mary, full of grace, we are hailing Our Lady. We are saluting her. We are addressing her. And every word is of importance, every single word. And sometimes if we allowed ourselves to enter into each of those words, we would find mysteries of grace that are locked up in them. And so not long ago, I was praying the rosary and I was praying the Hail Mary very contemplatively and slowly. And it was Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. And I got hung up on the word with. It's just a wee little preposition, isn't it? But it's an important preposition. It's linking two things. It was in that particular context, it's linking Our Lady and the Lord. The Lord is with thee. Even at the salutation of the angel, he's announcing something that's already been, something that started in the past and continues. And of course, it started at the moment of Our Lady's Immaculate Conception in the womb of her mother, Saint Anne. The Lord is with thee. And I started thinking about the word with, and I started thinking about, I wanted to be in the withedness that Our Lady was in. I wanted to be in that place with our Lord. And here is St. Hilary drawing our attention to the word with. So in a certain way, this is really a beautiful continuation of that time of prayer that I had personally. St. Hilary affirms that having received the body and blood of Christ, we are in Christ and Christ is in us. This interpenetration. And then he says, he himself is in us by his flesh and we are in him. And oh, marvelous consequence, with him. Wow. So what he's saying here is that in a certain sense, you know, in light of the Hail Mary, if we look at it in that regard, that when we receive our Lord body, blood, soul, and divinity into our body, it is an annunciation moment. It's sort of like this moment of salutation of the angel to Mary, announcing something that is, that exists, that the Lord is with us, you know? And so in that moment of reception, the Lord truly is with us at just as surely as he was within the womb of Mary. He is now within the womb of our spirit. He is in our soul and he is in our body in an analogous way as he was in Mary's body, not in the same way, but he is definitely there. What a beautiful thing for us to think about when we receive our Lord. And then Father Gabriel, responding to this quote of St. Hilary, says, we are never so close to Jesus, so penetrated by him, transformed, deified, and plunged into the divinity as at the moment of sacramental communion. With him, all that we are is in God. Oh my goodness, I have to take this into my time of prayer today. I've got to really sit with this and meditate on this because it's a word to me that's a continuation of a word, which is beautiful, absolutely beautiful. So then Father advises us in the next meditation, 207, that we should prepare for this union, that we should prepare for this union. He said, you know, we have to be very open to the fact that this is happening, mindful of it as we're receiving our Lord, even as we're making our way, to the banquet table. But even before that, you know, through all of our acts and deeds and the way in which we live our daily lives and the remote preparation that we're making for the reception of the sacrament, right? The remote and then the proximate, preparation that we're making, and then the very immediate moment that we are making. And he writes this in the second part of this meditation. He says, in order that the Eucharist may produce its full fruit in me and be the occasion of very close, intimate union with Jesus, it is not enough, as St. Augustine says, for me to eat his body materially. I also need to eat it spiritually. That is, my spirit must be well disposed and prepared to receive the body of Christ, to let itself be invaded and transformed by Christ. Couldn't you just sit with those words and let them penetrate your being? You know, in preparation to be penetrated by, invaded by, and transformed by Christ when we receive our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. And then he tells us this. He says, even should you be deprived of sensible devotion, faith will not fail to assure you that our Lord is truly within you. Again, a nod to the withedness of it all. And there, Father is quoting St. Teresa of Jesus, The Way of Perfection, which is the very book that I'm encouraging you to study with Dr. Donald Wallenfang for our Benedicta online summer course, Essentials in Carmelite Spirituality. I mean, this is just all so beautiful. I mean, it is beyond our comprehension. And God is just desiring to spend this time with us in the Eucharistic presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is waiting for us. He's waiting for us in the Blessed Sacrament. And even as I say this to you, I'm saying it to me. We need to strive to spend as much time as we possibly can with our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, especially, you know, when these days are dedicated to the Eucharist of our Lord, these days of June. So, you know, if in fact you haven't had the opportunity to spend this time with him too much this month, it's not over. It's not over. And remember this, our Lord operates outside of time and space. And so, you know, this moment that you will spend with him is gathered up in that eternal now. And all of it is there for you. Every blessing that the Lord wants you to receive is there. But we must go prepared to receive him. We must go prepared to experience the graces he wants for us to know. So I'm encouraging you in that direction. Maybe you have had a very blessed moment as you've sat before the Eucharistic presence of our Lord, or a very blessed moment in the reception of him, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Maybe even a special word that he spoke with you in your remote preparation, or your proximate preparation, or your immediate preparation to receive him. Maybe something very important to you came by way of the sacrament of confession in preparation for the reception of our Lord. Let us know. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us here. We're going to be right back. Stay tuned.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Jonette Williams. I'm delighted that you are with us today. We love spending this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. Always eager for you to use that toll-free number if you are right here in North America. That number is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. I am also encouraging you to give us a call at this number if you are outside of North America. And that number is country code 1-205-271-2985. That's 271-2985. That's the area code, country code 1. Country code 1-205-271-2985 is the number if you're outside of North America. Yeah, we can get that straight today. It takes a little bit, but it gets there in the end. All kinds of good things available for you as we continue to make our way through this beautiful, beautiful month of June. We are featuring this month a beautiful book written by Dr. Matthew Bunsen. I had the opportunity to interview Matthew on this book not long ago, and it's all on Pope Leo XIV. It is called The Portrait of the First American Pope. I got to tell you, it's a must-have book. I gobbled it up in one day. I just couldn't put it down. It's just intriguing. We find out so much about this new Holy Father, and Dr. Matthew Bunsen connects a whole lot of dots for us. You'll see what I mean when you order a copy of the book and you begin to read it. It's just a very, very insightful book on so many levels, and it's available for you at EWTN's Religious Catalog. That's EWTNRC.com. We love for you to go out there and shop and get your products there. It helps our work here at EWTN to continue to bring the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ to the hearts of people all over the world. Do know that when you order through EWTNRC.com, you have a free standard shipping on orders orders of $75 or more. That is standard shipping in the continental United States only. So use the code FREE at checkout. And buy a bunch of these books and share them with your friends. I think it's going to be very, very helpful for them. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us. Do want to let you know, we're talking about the Eucharist today. We're talking about entering more deeply into the beautiful reality of the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, being prepared to receive him lends to the efficacy of the sacrament. It is true that we do receive graces, even if we're just nonchalantly receiving. But boy, I'll tell you, when we go with intentionality of heart, we mine treasures of grace, treasures of grace. There is a direct correlation between the efficacy of the sacrament and the attitude and disposition of heart that we bring to the sacrament when we receive him. We've got Joe with us in San Antonio, Texas. Again, you can join him online here. Phone lines are open, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Michael McCall doing the screening today. Pedro Quiles out there collecting your questions and comments at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page in the chat feature. And Vanessa Sanchez, she is in that control room making the whole thing happen for us today. Hey, Joe, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for your call.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
You were speaking about the rosary, and
yes.
Usually we try to add a candle to basically the setup we have, Mary, a statue of St. Joseph, and just to focus on praying the rosary and focusing on the intentions and everything. Do you feel that the candle helps when you have a candle present versus when you maybe forget to add a candle? Because usually we try to always have a candle present. And, you know.
Yeah. Well, Joe, that's beautiful. You know, and what I would like to say in response to your question is that what you're actually doing within the context of your home is creating a sacred space. You're creating an environment that lends itself to prayer. You know, we're incarnational beings. What does that mean? It means that we have a body and that we have a soul. And the fact that we are incarnational beings means that through our senses, we are able to enter more deeply into those spiritual realities that we want to experience and that God would have us experience. So when you have a statue of Our Blessed Lady, a statue of St. Joseph, and you light a candle, you are making an intentional break from the mundanalities of daily life, from the duties and responsibilities of daily life. And even within the context of your home, you are making a break from the activity of the home to set up a sacred area where now you can enter into prayer. And that aids us greatly. It aids us greatly. You know, Jesus says in sacred scripture, you know, go into your closet and close the door and pray, and my Father who is in heaven will hear you. And what is he saying there? He's saying sometimes it's necessary to make a distinctive break because we, being incarnational beings, can attune ourselves spiritually to greater things when we do that. So I think that that's a very beautiful thing that you are doing. You know, now, does the candle in and of itself make a difference? It makes a difference to the extent that it is creating that moment of demarcation between the activity that you were immediately pursuing prior to the time of coming to this time of prayer and the time of prayer itself. You know, so I think that what you're doing is you're creating that place. It's your closet of prayer, so to speak, even if it's right there in your family room, but you are making it something special. So yes, I think that it does aid it. Does lighting the candle or not making lighting the candle make a difference? I think it makes a difference to the extent that it provides you with that interior recollection to be led more deeply into prayer. The candle itself is an inanimate object, so it's not affecting. You know, it doesn't have really the capacity to affect something because it doesn't have soul power, so to speak. But the intentionality, the action of lighting the candle, all of that is speaking to the soul. I am moving into a sacred moment. You notice that when you come to Mass, right? And the altar boys light the candles. They're setting this line of demarcation from the hustle and the bustle to this sacred opportunity that awaits them. So to that extent, I say yes, and I think it's quite a lovely thing to do.
I really agree with you. As you were mentioning, when a candle is, the altar boys light the candle at Mass. I've always heard it represents the presence of God on the altar and within the church. And that's kind of the sense I feel too when we light the candle and we begin, you know, with the intentions and the rosary and some of the additional prayers that we have, that it also adds the feeling that, you know, where one or two people are gathered, where a few people are gathered, the presence of the Lord is there amongst them. And I feel that that represents what, when we light the candle, that's the feeling I get from it.
Yes, yes. And, you know, there's the other part of that, too, that I think is interesting. And that is that, you know, we are people of habit. And the way in which we live our daily lives is indicative of various things. And so you have developed this holy habit of praying, and even that holy habit of the repetitive action of, you know, perhaps moving the statues to that area, and then the lighting of the candle and the gathering and the sitting down and the beginning, the process of prayer, the soul becomes habituated to that, and it aids towards this ability to be recollected. And that's what we're striving for in prayer, is to be aware of the presence of God. One other little word too that I think is so lovely about what you do is that, you know, our homes are meant to be a domestic church. In other words, what starts with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass is meant to continue and to flow into our family life and into our dwelling. And so we want that home of ours to be reflective of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and what takes place in the church. And, you know, that lighting of the candle you were talking about, the altar boys, et cetera, you know, that is, you know, a real type of connection that is being made there. It's an extension of that. And Jesus, God is always with us. He never abandons us. He never forsakes us. He is always with us 24/7. But when we're coming into that time of personal communion with Him through prayer, well, that is supposed to, that in and of itself is a type of symbolizing of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and what happens in church. So I think it's quite lovely, Joe.
I do agree.
Thank you.
I was just wondering how, you know, your opinion on how the candle plays an important role within the setting of praying the rosary, as you said, with the holy space in front of us and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Well, it does, again, for all of the reasons that we've outlined already. Well, I sure appreciate that. And I think that through your call, you're giving, you know, our listeners today an opportunity to consider how it is that they demarcate this place of prayer. You know, a lot of people will have a special room that is set aside. And other times, you know, people have just, you know, a prayer chair. I've heard of lots of people having a, you know, a little space where their chair is, and they've got their Bible there and their rosary is there, and maybe the Liturgy of the Hours is there, and a book that they are currently reading that is feeding them spiritually. But we do want to make certain that we are attentive to that. So, Joe, thank you so very much for your call today. We welcome your calls too, friends. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we love having that holy conversation with you. We're also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Just use the chat feature there. Put in your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We will be only too happy to receive that question or comment, and we will address it. I think that as Joe was sharing with us, one of the best ways that we prepare to receive our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity, of course, is through our time of prayer. And as Joe was sharing there, it's very obvious to me that he and his family have a regular routine time of prayer that they spend together. And in the reality of our daily lives today, living in this day and time, we know that if we're not intentional about these things will not get done. I think that we recognize and realize that, that the press of the day is there, and the opportunity for distraction is there at a level that we've never experienced before. I just think about social media, and I think about technology, and I think about all of that, that while it's meant to be a help for man, or at least it was thought to be initially a help for man, really in some ways does not help man at all, because we get busy doing things that are nothing. You know, we get busy just getting out there on Facebook or on Pinterest or on Instagram and looking at reels and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. But that is not the one thing that's necessary. It's not the one thing that's necessary for eternal life. You know, our Lord is the one thing that is necessary for eternal life. And we develop this busyness that really pulls us away from the great realities that are ours by way of our faith. And so Joe, you know, I think stands as a witness to us today to remember to be sure to set aside that time for prayer. It is difficult. And this is why in my life, I lead a very busy life. In my life, I strive to have that time of prayer in the morning. Now, there are times when that's not possible and I have to delay it. But I'll tell you, when it's delayed, my day is markedly different. And so, you know, we want to make sure that prayer time is in place. And, you know, I cannot encourage you enough in that direction. It is the game changer for our relationship with the Lord. And strive to the extent that you can also to have that particular place where you pray. Because even walking to that space, even in that process, there is an interior disposition and change of heart. And even that walk can be part of your time of prayer. You can be talking to Jesus as you're walking. Okay, Lord, I'm coming to spend time with you in this moment, and I'm asking if the Holy Spirit, even as I'm making my way from one room to the other, or from one seating to another seating, I'm asking that you are preparing my heart and my mind to be attentive to you during this time of prayer. That is the intention of my soul, Lord. So even when my mind is distracted or wandering, I pray that my soul is affixed to you. Right? And that my soul is receiving, and I'll try to control my wandering thoughts. You know, those kinds of prayers are very, very efficacious. And I think that they just pierce the heart of Jesus with joy, you know, and with true love. But this business of receiving our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity with great reverence and great devotion is so very important. I remember one time I was giving a talk at my parish church years ago, and it was probably during the month of June, and the emphasis was on the Eucharist, and they were having different people come in at the beginning of each Mass and giving a little talk, and I did that one day. And I said to the people, you know, it's very obvious who it is that understands the reality of the Eucharist. And I said, it's very obvious in the congregation who those individuals are who understand, and those who either don't understand or don't care. And I said, the way in which we know that is by the way in which the congregation and each individual in that congregation approaches reception of our Lord, the way in which you walk up the aisle to receive him, speaks of what your disposition of heart is in reference to Jesus. Well, I got to tell you, that particular Mass, everybody walked up very reverently. I can only hope that that was the beginning of a holy habit for them. We have Mary with us. Mary is with us from Urbana, Illinois this morning, listening to us via the EWTN app. Hey, Mary, how are you?
Good morning, Holy Woman, John Ed. How are you?
Oh, well, listen, I don't deserve that acclamation, but good morning to you, Holy Woman Mary.
Oh, you are such an encouragement to me, John Ed. The Lord has given you so many anointings and good moments of teaching that I just called to thank you for that. And also, you were speaking this morning about prayer space, and I thought, oh, I should call and tell her. You know, John Ed, several years ago, I got up the nerve to go to Lowe's or Home Depot, and I bought myself a shed, a 4x8 shed, and I turned it into a chapel in my
Mary,
backyard.
Mary, how beautiful.
It is my prayer space.
Oh, we lost Mary somehow. Oh, my goodness. But what a beautiful idea that is. You know, so here is this separate place for Mary. I'm hoping she'll call back. But here is this separate, oh, and she is calling back. Here is this separate space that she has, you know, outside her home, probably in the backyard or a side yard, where she intentionally walks as if she is going into this beautiful, beautiful heart of our Lord to spend time with him there. That is just such a great idea. And I think that like Joe, she is encouraging people to think about this. Let's see. We're going to get right back to Mary. She's here with us. Go ahead, Mary. I've got you.
Hi. Sorry, Johnette. I'm outside. And if I move my head, I lose things on my phone. So I just wanted to let people know that at the time I thought, oh, this is a crazy idea. I'm going to spend the money on this. What if I don't use it? Well, let me tell you something. I am out there almost every morning, especially in the nice weather, and it is such a joy. I even said to the Lord this morning, Lord, I'm happier here than if I could go anywhere in the world. I just want to sit here and listen to the birds and look at you on the cross and praise you.
Oh, Mary. Oh, my goodness. It just, my heart thrills to hear you say this. It is such an excellent idea and such a wonderful thing. And, you know, there is a reality about what happens in the atmosphere of a location where there is prayer. And it doesn't surprise me whatsoever that you are happier in your shed, in your prayer chapel, than you are anywhere else in your home. Because that prayer chapel is filled up with your prayer. And we know that God inhabits the praises of his people. So, you know, what is prayer but praise? It's praise and adoration of God. So that prayer chapel of yours is filled up with the presence of God. And this is another reason why it's so important to have a space like this in the home, because that begins to permeate and invade that area of the home, the presence of the Lord. And then it flows from that space into the rest of the house. And it's palpable. It's palpable. People feel it, and people will say so. So it doesn't surprise me one bit, Mary. I am just sure that that is such a holy space because of your prayer that goes on there. What an excellent, beautiful, beautiful thing you've done.
Well, thank you for your encouragement in all things, Johnette. God bless you.
Well, God bless you too. I'll bet you've got it furnished too, don't you? Holy pictures and
homemade shrine and Divine Mercy is out there, and yes, candles, and yeah, I'm very safe.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Wonderful. Mary, thank you so much. What a great suggestion. You know, there just might be an explosion of people running out of their homes today, going to, you know, their local distributor of sheds and getting a shed. Jack and I actually have a shed. So my mind is spinning right now. I don't know if Jack is listening, but boy, oh boy, oh boy, his wife might have plans. It's a beautiful idea. We do have a room in our home, though, that we've set up as a chapel. And And I can tell you, it is really quite lovely. I have a friend who sometimes visits here, and when she visits here and she walks into that room, she just melts. And we've had the opportunity to have the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass celebrated there too. So, you know, it makes a huge difference, friends. And these are all ways in which we can enter into a deepening relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. So perhaps something that you've heard today from Joe or from Mary is sparking an idea in your mind. Take that idea in your mind as being a prompting of the Holy Spirit, and don't delay. Do it right away, because when we heed that prompting, heaven opens up and spiritual blessings pour out upon us. That's what happens every time we heed the prompting of the Holy Spirit. So I encourage you to pay attention to that little voice saying, oh, do this, or the excitement or exhilaration that you feel in your spirit right now. Well, it's been great being with you today. Always happy to be with you Monday through Friday at this same time on this same station as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. Now the calls are coming in. It's the end of the show. Why does that happen? We love you, though. We certainly do. Get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. Check out what's happening. Join us as we seek to transform the world one woman at a time. Until we are together again, may the abundant life of Jesus Christ be yours. And may God richly bless you. Pray for me. I'm praying for you. Bye-bye now.